Oh, we'll update our board a little bit. So I'd like to take our thought a little bit further that we began with this earlier. I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and would like to read, beginning in the first verse, and read down to maybe the verse we want to really focus on. Apostle Paul speaking to, writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you." So Paul, he was a man, you remember, that was going to apprehend early morning the Christians. He was on the road, we call it the Damascus Road experience. Said he was breathing out threatenings, and intent was going to go and arrest and apprehend anybody that was of this persuasion. And here he sounds like he's changed his disposition a lot. He says, "I'm beseeching you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ." That don't sound like the same man that would breathe out threatenings, does it? He says, who in presence and base among you." In other words, when I'm with you, it's hard for me to really speak what's on my mind. You ever felt that? You ever been in a place, some of us may be more of that personality, where when we're with people, it's like, I don't really approve of what they're doing or how they're acting, but you just can't find it in yourself to confront them on it or to interject something. But he says, when being absent or I'm not with you, am bold toward you. In other words, I feel a little more courageous when I'm not right in your presence. He says, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold, that I may not be bold when I'm present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." So he's trying to describe where he's coming from. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." In other words, this is not a carnal battle I'm up against. I recognize, you know, it doesn't matter how eloquently someone speaks. It doesn't matter how persuasive someone speaks. It doesn't matter whether you appreciate and approve of the one that speaks or not. If we don't choose to implement the things that we hear when we're in service, there's no man that can hold you accountable to that. It's between you and the Lord. And he says, this is not, we're not doing a battle like in the flesh, a carnal battle. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Do you believe that tonight? I do. I believe that there's the weapons of the warfare God wants us to engage in is mighty, and it'll pull down strongholds. Not just strongholds like really fortified city walls. We read something the other night about Babylon having walls maybe 40 feet high, wide enough to have a chariot race on top of it. That sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it? But that's not what God's weapons are really designed for. But they're designed to pull down some strongholds of preconceived ideas, of attitudes and dispositions and characteristics that the enemy has been able to contaminate souls with and cause you to look on everybody with suspicion or look on Christianity as a point to scoff at. All of those kind of things, the enemy is tried to make strongholds in our lives, and God's weapons are able to pull those down. And I want us to think about us prospering spiritually and tearing those things down, and how much more beneficial it is to tear down the old enemy strongholds of doubts and fears and all of those things. But listen to this next verse. He says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You want to prosper spiritually? I believe we do, or you wouldn't have come. I don't know if you were suspicious that we were going to continue the thought tonight or not, but if you were, I'm glad you come back. He says here that we must be able to bring every thought into captivity. In other words, take control of what you allow your mind to think on and dwell on. And we use the word this morning of musing, contemplating and thinking about different directions of approaching maybe a particular situation or whatever it is. And what are we thinking about? Have we got those kind of thoughts? Have we brought them into captivity? Or are they just kind of scattered and random? And I know there's something that happens when I run a temperature that is kind of distressing to me. And I don't really know how to explain it, because if I have much of a temperature, it don't make sense to me either. But what happens is I begin to have random thoughts, and they're just like they drop me in the middle of something, and it's confusing to me and distressful to me, and I feel like that I'm trying to sort out some kind of complicated problem, but yet there's no solution to it. I get to the end of something and there's just another problem. It's not a I know that sounds confusing, and it is. Here a few weeks ago when I had COVID and had a little bit of a temperature, it don't take much, and I guess my mind is just kind of scattered. I don't know how to describe it, but I couldn't go to sleep. Some people say they're just exhausted all the time, and mine was going 100 miles an hour. Thinking about it, just all kinds of stuff was just whirling around, and it wasn't spiritual things necessarily. It was just like you're trying to turn the water off because it's running out of the end of the pipe, and you get down to the end of the pipe and there's a plug in down there, so, and it's just crazy things. Well, we got to learn how to bring things into captivity. The enemy would like for us to just have random thoughts and just, oh, well, what about this and what about that? And I wonder what they meant and all of these kind of things. But he's saying God has weapons that's powerful. And they pull down strongholds. And it can make us prosperous if we apply his weapons and his tools to our individual circumstances and in our individual life. He says, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, it's not the only place in the scripture that it talks about us taking control of our thought process. Let's go to Psalms, the 19th Psalm, and look beginning in verse 7, I believe it is. Psalms 19. And beginning in verse 7, he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I'm glad David had that vision. It was before salvation was available through the blood of Christ, but he had a perspective there that was good. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. All of these good attributes that comes from having a relationship and acceptance of God's law and having a respect and a fear for who God is, all of these things that come, they're an opportunity. But remember, we said this morning, opportunities don't come fully developed. An opportunity is a chance for us to do something different. It's a, the Lord give us a mind, and we ought to use it. I used to tell the boys when they were younger, they wouldn't be thinking about what I was trying to get them to think about. And I would tell them, use your head for something besides a hat rack. You know, engage your mind. The Lord give us a mind. He give us hands. Most all of us have two hands. And He give us 2 feet and 2 ears and 2 eyes. And they're just not extras and backups. He meant for us to use both of them. He meant for us to apply ourselves. And if we don't apply ourselves to getting a hold of the fear of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the law of the Lord, we won't profit. But if we will get a hold of them, if we will ask the Lord to write His law on the tables of our heart, it'll start to be profitable. He says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. It's profitable to us. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. So here we start recognizing there's things that may be hidden and under the surface. There may be things that maybe people that don't know us real well, that don't live in the same house with us, that hasn't known us for 20 years or longer, they just don't know. They're unaware. But the Lord can help us get those out of our... What did it say? The weapons, His weapons are mighty, pulling down strongholds, overthrowing things that is hindering us. It's not... The purpose is not just to expose our failures. The purpose is to get down to build something solid. You know why when they come in, just notice this corner lot over here. You know why they come in and just tear the ground all up before they build something? They move the topsoil off and they're trying to get down to something that has the right compaction, where they can build on something solid. Well, the Lord doesn't come along with His mighty weapons and doing uncovering secret faults just to lay us open to where everybody can point and make fun of us. That's not, He wants us to build something solid, something that's profitable for our own lives. He says, who can understand His errors? I'm talking about us as individual. I know that there's things that other people see in me and they wished I wouldn't do it. They wished it was different. It's just because I can't see myself. He says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. He says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Another writer, another place in the scripture, and he's saying, Lord, I need to be able to control my thoughts. Why? Because he wants to be more prosperous in his relationship with the Lord. We have to cultivate a attitude of, I won't allow myself to dwell on bad things. I won't allow myself to think about all of the potential negative outcomes. I will discipline myself to think about good things. Have several of us here, most all of us here, have a spouse. And, you know, the devil would like for all of us, whether we've been married 50 years or a year or two, the Lord would like for us to capitalize, the devil would like for us to capitalize on a negative attribute that your spouse has. And all of us have a spouse that has a negative attribute. Every one of us. And the devil would like for us to capitalize on it and think about it and meditate and muse and just allow our minds to just become confused. And you know, if you can see one negative thing, you'll probably see two. It's just the way it happens. And if you can see two, there'll probably be six. And that's just the way life is. And the devil wants to cause us to have such a cloud of confusion and oppression. And pretty soon, we're asking ourselves, what's the use? You know how to defeat that? We have to bring our thoughts into subjection. We have to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to overcome this secret fault. Help me to not, yes, I know that whatever it is that he does or she does, I know they do that. But that's, I married them for a different reason. There was something about them that you were attracted to. Start thinking about that. Cultivating those things. And you know, those will accumulate as well. But we have to discipline our mind to think about those. We have to reject those things that we know are going to destroy a relationship. The same way it is with our walk with the Lord. You want to be more prosperous? We got to take things, we got to take charge of our and be responsible for our life and be responsible for our thought processes and the things that we muse on. We can't keep some random thing from coming in our mind. We can't keep maybe if it's something our spouse does and we're it annoys us and they're not aware of it and they do it again or they do something else just about like it and it's like, oh boy. We can't keep those things, but we can not muse on them. We can keep from musing about them. We can keep from dwelling on them. And the Lord can help us rise above that. So, he says here, the meditations of my heart, he wants them to be acceptable. What would the Lord think about you meditating about temptations? What do you think he'd think about that? What do you think he would say about you meditating about old hurts and grievances? What do you think he'd say if he was in your presence and knew that you were musing instead of about things above, you were musing about derogatory things and maybe things that were inappropriate? What do you think he would say to us? Do you think he'd approve? I think the Lord loves us enough. He might not shout at us. I think it would cause a tear to come down his cheek. It'd make him sad. Because instead of bringing our thoughts into subjection and into control, instead of choosing to meditate on good things, he would see us going down a wrong path. The Lord wants us to prosper in our soul. He wants us to prosper spiritually. And I believe that the key, one of the important keys, is being able to discipline what we think about. May the Lord help us. Our thoughts should be God approved. What does it say in James 4 and 17? Do you remember that verse? James 4 and 17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know what you're supposed to be thinking about? You know that if you're contemplating some devious activity, if you're contemplating some something that would be the end result would not be God approved, you know, thinking about it is not approved by God too. I don't think that's startling to us. So Lord, help us to cry out for the Lord to help in those times. We want the Lord to help us when we're in the proximity of danger and it looks like we're fixing to have a wreck or the tree's fixing to fall of us on us or something like we may say, Lord, help us. I'm going to tell you, when thoughts come to your mind that you realize is not God approved, and we know this is not something we ought to be thinking about, it's appropriate to say, Lord, help me. When I have a fever, that's one of the things that I've had to pray for is, Lord, help me. You see the confusion that's happening in my mind, and it's so distressing to me. And I tried to explain it one time to my wife when I was in that state, and she just didn't understand it. I don't blame her. I couldn't understand it either. It was real distressing. So we just have to ask the Lord in those times, just like we would say, Lord, spare us from the tornado, spare us from sliding off the road when it's icy, or spare us from when we have thoughts that's presented to us. We can't keep the birds from flying over our head. We can't keep them from dropping something on us, but we can keep from them building a nest. We don't have to meditate. We don't have to muse. We don't have to dwell on those things that would lead us away from the Lord. We can instead choose to meditate on good things. It says to meditate on things that would be approved by God. Let's go to Philippians, the fourth chapter, to give us some guidelines about what to think about. You know, we can generically speak about thinking about good things and all of that. But I'd like to give us some very specific things here. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4 in verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what does it say? Think on these things. You know, I know that it's more beneficial to me to listen to an inspirational message or song. Maybe you have a collection of special singing from the camp meeting or something like that. I know that it's better for me to listen to that than to listen to somebody make fun of a politician. I know it's better. And so I have to make a choice. What am I going to listen to? Do I listen to somebody that is making snide remarks about our nation's leaders and making fun of them and maybe they're misnomers and all of that, or do I choose to listen to something that is true, that's honest, that's of a good report, that's just, that's lovely, things that have virtue, things that would cause us to have an attitude of praise I think it's important for us to praise the Lord and to thank the Lord. But Lord, help me to choose to think. You want to be more profitable? Think on the things that will make you profitable. You want to be a better, whatever it is. You want to be a better employee. You want to be a better spouse. You want to be a better husband and a better father. You want to be a better wife, whatever it is. Then think about the things that would make you better. Don't think about the things that your spouse is doing wrong and your employer is doing wrong. You know, not all the employers do things right. They don't treat all the employees right. They don't have the right working conditions. All of those kind of things. We can think about them, you know. We can think bad things about our coworkers. They open the door and it's cold outside. And I wish they'd close the door when they went out because it's 15 outside. And now I got a cold draft coming in. And I've got to get up and go close the door. Surely they know better than that. And I can get all grumpy and think about that the rest of the day. And the next time I talk to them, I can be sharp. And I won't profit in my soul. And a big one for me is, where's my tools? I go to look for something and it's not there. Where's my tools? Who borrowed my tools? Sometimes I'm the one that left it. Drew found one of my tools the other day that I'd taken home and left there. And I just knew somebody at the shop had borrowed it. You know, I could muse on those things and meditate on them and really, I'm just being very open with you. I can really, it can cause me to be distressed. All right? But I got to choose what I'm thinking about. I want to profit spiritually. I want to be a better man of God in the future than I have been in the past. I want to gain ground. I don't want to just barely hold on. I don't want to be of a scarcity mindset and just barely keeping my head above water. I want to profit. I want some profit. I want some margin of profit. You know what margin of profit is? That's the difference between the cost of goods and what you sell the goods for. I want some margin in my life. I want to be able to look back. If we look back, this is not New Year's Day, but if we look back next January, I want to be able to say, I made some ground. With the help of the Lord, I made some progress. There's some things I don't think about now that I used to think about. There's some things I've been able to make some decisions on with God's help that's led me closer to Him and away from temptation. You ever seen something, whether it was children or animals, just couldn't leave something alone, whether it was a mud puddle or whatever. And you could tell them, you're going to get dirty, you're going to fall in, and they just couldn't leave it alone. They just wouldn't get away from it. And directly, sure enough, they fell in. But I want us to be able to look back and say, I haven't fell. I haven't fell to that temptation. I haven't fell to that circumstance. I chose with the help of the Lord to think on good things, on the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are of good report, the things that had virtue, the things that had praise in it. And I've made some ground. I desire your prayers. I want to see profit in my life for my benefit, but I want to see profit in my life for God's benefit. And I want all of us to be more profitable personally and for the Lord. You pray for me.